This is CliffCentral.com.
Fear's a powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful. All engine running.
Multiplying leadership. Moving society the millennial way.
But you don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
We gonna take it to the moon, take it to the stars. How many people you know can take it this far?
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau.
12, 11.
Old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Youth Leadership Platform.
All right, welcome to another exciting episode of the Youth Leadership Platform. I guess it's always exciting. By now, you should know this. As per usual, I'm the man at the head of everything, Bongani Tau, for those that are listening to the podcast for the very first time. And we kick things off with this week with two guests, one from the Breaking Down Borders Africa, which is a summit aiming at helping young, mostly young, or focus is on the young, to move South Africa forward using the youth to a state or a place where it becomes a self-sufficient continent. So the summit within itself, it has many delegates from South Africa, Africa as a continent, and the diaspora. And the second guest that we have, or that we're going to be interviewing later on, are two very energetic, very ambitious and driven young individuals that started a business of, I would like to call it frozen yogurt, but you would have to wait to hear what it actually is, because I'm sure they're going to disagree with me and give you a better understanding of what the business is. But first things first, so the BDBA, I'm going to have our first guest obviously take us through what it is, what it's about. But firstly, I'd like to go through some of the material that I was sent by the team. So the Breaking Down Borders Africa Youth Summit returns, obviously, to Johannesburg for its second edition. And it will be taking place from the 14th to the 18th of May. The summit, which was founded to create a platform for young African entrepreneurs and activists, seeks to adopt policies that will be advocated to the African Union and governments under the theme Africa Youth Building Our Legacy. So now obviously you'll hear more about that, what that means and what that theme is about, how that theme came about from one of the representatives from the summit. So this year, the summit will be hosted in over 5 days, imagine. So there's plenaries there, there's talks there, there's tourism, there's school visits. Yeah. It's a very holistic approach at first identifying the problems that we have in South Africa and training the youth that will lead us to a place where we are self-sufficient enough to solve our own problems without, I guess, getting so much or too much support from the Western world. So the Breaking Down Borders Africa Summit as well is a pan-African youth conference that incorporates tourism, culture, alongside political and economic conversations, which are all youth-driven. So on the 2018 bill, there are high-profile speakers in politics, business, entertainment, and social justice, who are inspired by the centenary of the late iconic statesman, who is Utata, Nelson Mandela. So the five-day program will fittingly be launched with a lecture by social justice advocate and Mandela's widow, Graca Machel, So I'm looking forward to that because I'll be attending the conference
okay.
as well.
Okay.
The rest will see captivating dialogues being delivered by the likes of Kenyan political activist who is Boniface Mwangi, local innovator and entrepreneur Letabo Motsoaledi, and the list goes on. I think there's a Mbuyiseni Dlozi in the works somewhere, and Ndiwe Sisulu in the works somewhere.
Wow.
So it is going to be very jam-packed, and it's something for leadership. And that's why we are speaking from a representative from the BDBA, who is Mutlatsi. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sheesh. Such a... What is the English word for it? You know...
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Oh my goodness, I cannot handle you. Like, what is wrong with you? Ostentatious, I think
okay.
that's the word.
Okay.
Because yeah, I just removed my English from the charger, guys. So I'm charged. It's charged up, and I've got
it's
the word.
Back.
So ostentatious mm-hmm. event and summit that's very promising, and I mean it's returning for.
It's been tried and tested,
and it's worked.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not gonna say it's been tried and tested. We are still trying and testing it.
Okay.
The formula actually is to create a traveling conference.
Okay.
So the idea is hopefully if we do well enough this year, the conference will actually leave South Africa and literally place itself within all the other remaining 53 countries of the continent.
Sheesh. Okay.
So if we don't do as well as we hope we will, we'll still keep it in South Africa and test it until you know, we believe that it's worth putting it in the hands of another country, because obviously there's like diplomatic areas and
sure.
jurisdiction issues that need to be managed. But then, be that as it may, the concept itself and platform itself is a phenomenal one, like I was saying.
Sure.
The idea is truly an inspirational one that stems from... So, Breaking Down Borders Africa Initiative is basically a flagship with two main platforms underneath it. One is a tour, and then the other is a summit, which I'm very, very much involved in. But the tour is what preceded the summit.
Okay.
2016... one of our leaders in the organization, that's Leaders Who Dare to Dream, the foundation,
sure.
went on a tour of the continent. It was a tour basically set around giving inspirational talks and showcasing South African talent in those different countries. We went to 10 different countries on the continent. There was a Kenya in the mix, there was Uganda in the mix, there was Botswana, there was Zimbabwe, I think there was Zambia as well, and a couple of other countries, and Lesotho. And the realization with the people that we were on the ground with, touring with, was that actually there was a desire by young people across the continent to come together and do stuff together. You know, if I'm an artist in Senegal, I want to perform in, you know, in South Africa. I want to have access to like an entertainment market in South Africa.
Sure.
If I'm producing material, you know, like I'm producing ideas or whatever in South Africa, I want to be able to sell them in Nigeria. So that was basically what inspired the summit. To say, let's create a platform that all these people can then get together at, but then to build it beyond our own personal networks, to actually say, let's make the circle bigger, basically.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then, you know, allow everyone to just come in and then say, these are the problems that I have, and this is the vision I have for, you know, the solution for these problems. And that's why our theme last year was African youth collaborating towards collective, or I think joint prosperity for the continent.
Okay.
But then if you think about it, this year what we've done is we've said we've now laid the ground down, and now we know what the issues are, but we are now saying let's get together and actually start building these solutions. Now we know what the problems are, so let's get together and actually say this is what we think needs to be done.
Sure.
But beyond just saying this is what needs to be done, which is part of the conversation we started last year, this year we're actually saying who else do we need to form part of the mechanism for bringing solutions. And that's why this year's output, this is biggest output actually, is a document that we're going to advocate for adoption with the AU and our own government and other governments that we've already started engaging through their different embassies in the country.
Sure. And so how does the process work then of developing such a document, and what are you hoping to achieve with the document? So what kind of response do you want the AU to give you guys, and how is that going to help you to now move to the next phase of, now the document is passed, or you've gotten mm-hmm. the favorable response that mm-hmm. you're going to tell us about what it is in more detail. Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here?
So that's built into the program of the conference. So the summit is set up in such a way that you've got various activities. The first 2 days of the summit are set around a tourism and cultural exchange experience for okay. our delegates. So okay. you've got people coming from across the continent, and we're saying, if you're in South Africa, let's give you a sense of what South Africa is all about. But let's also start planting a seed in our young people who are in schools to actually want to explore the continent. One of the things that we hope that we get to do, and we tried it as well last year, is to actually start developing a desire or an appetite for touring across the continent. People generally think dream holiday Paris, dream holiday Sydney, dream holiday New York. You know,
they don't think Tanzania, which is gorgeous.
That's what we're trying to do. And I mean, we saw it even last year when we went into the schools. You ask people, what do you know about Nigeria?
Crickets. And it's like,
I just love the Nigerian hellbrow.
Maybe Nollywood.
You know, so
and
you,
witchcraft.
You know, so
which
you
is very
want,
stereotypical and very narrow.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to bring in a Nigerian to actually say, no, I walk in Joburg and actually be not that different if I'm in Lagos.
Sure.
So that's the one part of the program. And the second part is a 2-day conference that's built around one sociopolitical discussions and then an economics discussion. The sociopolitical conversation basically speaks to our activists who are driven by human rights issues, community development issues, and sure. then to say, what are the challenges in the communities that they serve, and what do they think needs to be done to make an effective change? And then it's then issues of economic transformation, where we start speaking to young entrepreneurs and we're saying, how do you start establishing a business in South Africa as a young person, and then getting access to a market in Nigeria and sure. Zambia, wherever? And so the idea is, once those ideas come out in those conversations, they then get to inform what policies get to be adopted by governments. That's why the conversation is not just for the AU, but it's also for governments in the different countries. So you want, for instance, the Department of Small Business Development in South Africa to actually say, oh, we actually realize that our young people want to trade with, like, in the SADC region.
Sure,
so what
sure,
do
sure.
we do to assist them? Do we then start going into bilateral trade agreements that make it easy for, you know, someone who sells beadwork work to then start selling their beadwork or placing it in Botswana, you know? And that allows us to be able to say, we are now going to go about solving tax issues, customs issues, regulatory issues, and all of that, which obviously government needs to be a stakeholder in.
What was it not an aha moment when the different governments signed that free trade within African context?
It's one of those things that actually we spoke about when we actually said, guys, we actually think we are on the right track.
Sure.
You know, it says to you, as you start approaching governments to be stakeholders in the platform, you are going to start getting buy-in. But the thing that needs to happen is that the youth voice needs to come out.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why it's very important for us to not just sit as an organization and actually say, guys, we think this is what needs to happen. Send out an email to everyone and say, come back with a response to a survey or document. But actually get people getting together and actually having physical discussions, but also allowing for space for intergenerational exchanges. And that's why part of the speaker at the conference are made up of not just the youth. So you've got some amazing young people, like you've just mentioned earlier, but then you also have some amazing, more experienced and mature people who are going to form part of that conversation. And you're going to have some amazing government people who are going to come in and actually say, we think this is where government needs to step in, or this is how government can step in, or let's start engaging government post the summit.
Whoa, stop the lorry. Nah?
Yes.
Backtrack.
Yes.
How did you conceptualize this idea? What informed the basis of, we're going to start this, and a year, 2 years later of initiating that concept, you've grown so much and you're bringing like the kind of people of that stature to
it starts
this
with
the
dream. Honestly,
take
it starts with
that.
The dream.
Take us
Look,
through that.
I mean, you know, when you work with a team of inspired young people who then say, the idea is, how do we all put our voices into this one, you know, bucket, and we take out, you know, something that we all can take ownership in? And then when you have people who say, my passion is tourism, How do I then drive a narrative of tourism?
Yeah.
And someone else says, my passion is education. How do I drive a narrative of education? My passion is entrepreneurship. My passion is social development and community development. Getting young people together. A lot of people, there's a lot of noise on social media right now around collaboration.
Sure.
And this platform is, I think, the epitome of collaboration.
Sure.
When you get young people, I mean, even our team right now that we're working with is not just made up of South African youth. We've got like a young woman from Botswana who's joined the team, a young woman from Zambia who's on the team, and we even still have networks in the different countries to help us galvanize and get people to come through for the summit. So it's all about, if young people get together and we realize that we have similar passions or similar interests or similar goals, then we get together and we say, what can we do? It all starts with saying, maybe let's just have like a Skype call, you know?
Sure.
And from a Skype call, let's actually have a meeting. From a meeting, let's actually have a conference. From a conference, let's just have an entire week of engagement. And then you start, the surprising thing is, once you start doing that, we all know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone. And then that's how it just happens. We all send each other texts and we send each other texts, we send each other emails. And then suddenly it's May and you've got a 5-day thing going on and people are arriving and people are there and people want to be part of it and people don't want to leave and people want to keep going. People want to do more stuff, you know. I mean, we had a planning convention last year and it was so interesting that people still wanted, even though they attended the inaugural summit last year, but they still wanted to come back and say, okay, guys, I think this is how you can better the platform. This is how you can better the platform. I mean, there's already right now people in different countries saying, guys, you've said this platform is going to start touring the continent. Can it come to our country next?
Oh. How many are you in a team?
How many are we? Let me check my phone. There are about 6 WhatsApp groups that literally are
for different aspects
yes. So you've got the logistics and planning, you've got the content team, you've got the communications team, you've got the team that does just stakeholder work that goes out and, you know, speaks to our like sponsors and so you've got a team of about, so it's 8 in this group. I know the other group is about 10 people. It's 7 in this one. Okay.
That's a sizable number of you. So you say this is
5 in here. So it's about 20 or so people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you say this 20 is spread across, so a large part of it is South African.
So you've got the core team, that's probably about 10 to 12 of the people who are all based, who are in South Africa right now.
Okay.
Of that team, I think about 4 are non-South African, but they are here right now as we finalize the planning.
Okay.
And of that entire team, we have, I think we had one gentleman who was in Cape Town, but now he's moved up to Joburg. So that's just about it. But so it's a lot of like moving around in terms of technology and emails and WhatsApp groups and emails and Skype meetings and.
So during the conference,
all young.
So the first part of the conference will happen at UNISA.
So the first day of the conference will be at UNISA, and that's the day that focuses on the sociopolitical content.
Okay.
And then the second day of the conference will be at the Maslow Hotel in Sandton, where we focus on entrepreneurship and the economy. And then we've added a day, the last day of the conference, of the summit, in fact, this year, is workshops. We've been able to approach Google Africa, the digital workshop, to offer a workshop on digital skills.
Okay.
We've been able to bring on board Red Bull Amapigo to run a social entrepreneurship workshop. We are also then in discussion with ICAS entrepreneurs to also run a workshop on basically the toolkit in terms of starting your own SMME.
Sure.
Yes.
And all this will take place at the Maslow.
So the workshops will also take place at the Maslow.
So now you've spoken about 3 days of the 5.
Yes.
So the other 2 days, what's going to be happening
the
there?
The other 2 days are the cultural exchange. The cultural exchange is basically us going to different schools. Last year, we went to schools in Soweto, where our delegates got to one, give talks and also give reflections on the countries that they're from.
Okay.
And share experiences with young people in those schools, but also do a book exchange, where we've asked all the delegates who are coming to the summit to bring a book from their country, buy an author from their country, and then it's their give back to the school. That they'll be speaking at, and still asking the same even this year. So you go to a school in, so I mean, I think we're going to Alex this year. So you go to a school in Alex and you leave a book from Nigeria by a Nigerian author. And what that does is starting to plant
when
the
seeds. Are you coming to my hood and leaving a Chimamanda book?
maybe next year. I mean, look, the thing about it is, as well, like I said, the bulk of the work is achieved through partnerships and collaboration.
Sure,
so what we do with our school visits is we reach out to NGOs that do work with young people in high schools.
Sure.
And then they then allow us to navigate into which schools we go to, which areas to go to. Like I said, last year we worked with an organization that works in Soweto. So that's why we were able to go to Soweto. And this year we're working with an organization that operates in Alex. So we're going to be in Alex this year.
Mm. So the other 2 days are going to be cultural exchange.
It's the cultural exchange. Change in visit to schools, but we're also doing, last year we did Villa Gazi Street. It's popular, so I think we're going back to Villa Gazi Street. We also have a plan.
So you pack all these delegates in like a bus.
In a bus, and we like all go out to Villa Gazi Street. We do the Nelson Mandela Museum, and they get one with the people of South Africa, you know, and they sit there. Last year we sat for like, I think, 2 hours at the restaurants and on Villa Gazi Street, and, you know, just people get an experience of what it's like to be in South Africa. Because the other thing is, apart from actually getting platforms like these, just as South Africans don't go to a lot of other African countries, there are other African countries or other people from the continent don't come to South Africa unless they're coming for like school. They never hardly come to the country for like a tourist experience. So that's what we're offering them.
What are some talks that we should look forward to hearing?
Oh my, our conference topics this year are explosive. We've got a topic that speaks to the eradication of harmful social practices, where we try and throw in gender diversity and discrimination, and how do we go about, you know, dealing with that.
I know your passion for that.
very passionate. I'm also quite excited about the different people who are going to be part of that. We're also talking about youth participation within policy forums. How do young people start having a stake in the laws that affect them? We're also looking at innovation is a big one. I'm quite excited about the innovation discussion, because that's a women driven conversation. I think majority of the people on that particular panel are women, and that's very, very awesome, because it's women who are innovating in technology, who are innovating in science and health, women who are innovating in agriculture. So it's quite exciting to have that conversation. And there's a conversation as well on how do young people start using what's available to them, the media and artistic materials, to then start driving sociopolitical messages. And that's a conversation that's being led by Boniface Mwangi. Actually quite excited to meet. So such an, you know, like a prolific profile. Also have a conversation on reshaping brand Africa. And that conversation is also quite an exciting one for me personally, because it also speaks to branding, but also how do we start communicating a different African narrative, and how do that narrative, how does it then bring in youth? How does it bring any young women? How does it bring in young LGBTI people?
Sure.
And. So it's packed. We're going to be drained by the end of it. And but then we'll have an amazing document to deliver.
So the content will be available for people to access online post the conference, the people that can't be part of it?
So the document will be, so the document is actually owned, one, by the foundation, and then by our stakeholders, of course, who are going to be helping us share it. The content of them, of the, I suppose, the visual content of the conference will be available. We've partnered with MTV Base this year, who are, you know, going to be literally taking some part of the content and then sharing it with their viewers as the conference happens and post the conference. Actually, by the way, we're having a discussion on patriarchy, which is very exciting. We're screening a documentary by MTV Base called The People Versus Patriarchy, and it's quite exciting to be having that conversation, because that speaks to what is currently the current wave, the hashtag MeToo, hashtag Time's Up conversation. So that's also one of the most exciting things to see happening there. But yes, the conversations will be available online on our social media as the conference happens. Part of it obviously will be available.
What are your social media handles?
We are at BDB_Africa on both Instagram and Twitter, and then we are Breaking Down Borders Africa Summit on Facebook.
And your personal
mine are at MOZ_MCM, Mars_MCM. And it's got nothing to do with the whole Monday craze.
I was about to say something along those lines.
MCM is like my, those are my initials.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, thanks a lot for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
I'm totally looking forward to attending the conference and bringing the content back to our listeners, because the people that are going to be listening to this podcast and this episode
are people we should have.
Exactly.
Look, and I mean, I can just say people can look into registering, especially for the individual days of the conference. So if you just go into our website, which is breakingdownborderswithafrica.com, and then just...
Registering for?
For the conference.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So you have to register to attend the conference.
I see.
So just going to our website.
And managing everyone else. I see.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, we want to hear these conversations. So I'm bringing equipment. I'm interviewing...
Are you broadcasting?
A lot of the people that are going to be at the venue.
Cool stuff.
To bring our content back here. So we can actually be part of that, hear what you have in store for us and what they mm-hmm. have in store for us. And because even our mandate, that's why I feel there's a marriage between what you're trying to achieve and what you're doing. Exactly.
That's true.
Leadership within the youth. 76.
And we are all about leadership.
76 was the youth that, you know, took the country from where it was to essentially where it is. As much as the old guys negotiated and whatnot, mm-hmm. but the youth were at the forefront making things happen. And I think the youth of today, because of some of the leisure that has come because of the altruism that was shown by the youth of then, mm-hmm. there's a bit of a... The term I want for this one is... They're very relaxed, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And we want to do away with that. And we want to do away with the stereotype as well that millennials are lazy, that they don't do anything.
I think it's a perception. I think it's a perception, but obviously you and I are young and the people who are coming to this conference are young. Exactly. And I mean, you've just been interviewing like young people on this show. So that actually says there is an increase and a desire for young people to be involved in spaces, to occupy spaces and have their voice and ideas heard and then be assisted where they can be assisted to then take, you know, their movements further.
And we want to be the vehicles that drive that.
Of course.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Youth Leadership Platform. So what we're going to do now is a bit of a segue into the guests that are joining us in studio, who I told you, and I'm going to say again, they do frozen yogurts, because I want them to disagree with me live on air. It's the best stuff. I tasted it. They're going to take us through some of the, flavors that they have. So we're just setting them up in studio right now. If you can go closer to the mic there. There we go. And I am going to switch both of your mics on. Just stay close to the mic. And Tando or Tato, which one should I start with to introduce?
So Tato.
So are we going to have a conversation about who should go first now?
Am I closer?
Yeah. Okay. Come a bit closer. Let's raise that a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
Thank you. It's awesome
to have you. So, kindly introduce yourself. And, yeah, we'll have Tato as well. And then we'll talk a bit about what Sobe is, why you started this, and all these amazing things that you guys are doing.
Okay. I'm Tula Ndema, 26, 27, I'm not sure. I'm a co-founder of Sobe. I studied marketing, commerce marketing in Rosebank College. And 2 years later, I guess, Sobe happened.
So things changed?
Yeah, drastically. I didn't even think that they would change. But after a year of studying, I actually wanted to know which industry am I going to venture into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from the past interest that I had before.
Sure.
I was never in the food industry. I guess I'm self-taught with all the research, obviously. And the inspiration behind the Sobe,
we're gonna get into that. So kindly introduce yourself, my good sir. Okay, let's work in that mic. Go again.
My name is Tato Masondo.
Okay, we're having a bit of a challenge with your mic. Do you wanna move over to a different mic, and let's get you part of the conversation. So, awesome. Go at it.
Hey, guys.
Awesome.
My name is Tato Masondo. I'm also a co-founder of Sobey. And I studied photography.
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of closer to what I'm doing now, because I mostly take pictures of the company, promoting it and all that. So I'm still on the same.
So I'm going to enjoy my Sobey while we have this conversation,
it's
right?
It's kind of melted now, hey?
I think we've been here like an hour, right?
No, I'm kidding. They'll kill me.
But have a taste.
They found me enjoying such things in studio. Yeah. So, interesting. Marketing, photography, and then you morphed. You like, so how do you move into this particular industry and decide to do this in particular?
Okay, the company is inspired by our relationship, hence the name Sobey, spelled S-O-B-A-E.
Sure.
Yeah, we used to cycle around the city.
Okay.
Her and I used to live in the city, so we used to cycle around the city and pass farmers markets, and we saw how cheap fruits were. Like, you find a pack for 10 rand, and mostly ripe fruits would get thrown away, and you're like, they'll be selling it for cheap, like 3 rand or whatnot, and we thought of a way to make money.
Sure.
It's like, oh, how about we make a Sobey? And like, oh, this would be perfect. We'd be making money and not losing at all. So we came up with the slogan called Freedom to Ripe the Fruits of the Earth.
Wow.
Because we saw how they throw away the ripest fruit.
I see.
And those are the sweetest fruits.
Sure.
So yeah, we found a way on cutting out sugar on our Sobey, because people complain about, oh, Sobey has so much sugar. So the only way we make it sweet is finding the ripest fruit.
Ah.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Interesting. So it's not frozen yogurt.
No, what
is it? What is it?
It's a pure fruit, frozen
fruit.
Dessert.
Doesn't have any dairy at all.
Yeah. So you can just simply take an apple and imagine what you can do with it.
Okay, let's pick a flavor.
The flavor you have right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Pineapple and Grenadilla pine. We'll call it Grenadilla pine.
Take us through the process of making one.
Ooh, okay. Not the whole process, but
there's IP that you need to protect, obviously.
Yes. So we go to the market, get some fruits, go back home, wash some fruits, chop them up. It's actually a fun process.
Yeah.
Doing every day. Chop them up, and obviously the freezing process with water and ice.
Okay.
And we have to incorporate just a bit of sugar, and obviously the fruits are ripe, so we'll try to make the fruit as fine as possible.
Okay.
We handcraft our sorbets, so you can imagine, like, we don't have a churner at all, so we have to make them completely smooth.
Wow.
You know, like... And I can imagine chopping a pineapple. We're struggling, like chopping
late.
A pineapple takes like forever.
Sure,
but we do enjoy the process. So that is part of it.
Yeah, the basis of the fruit is just water and ice.
Water and ice. And we incorporate also herbs and spices. Yeah. Mm. Like, we have a flavor, chili mango. That we've done. So we actually use raw chili, strawberry and ginger. Yeah. And we have like...
Some fascinating flavors.
Lavender, lavender too. We try to incorporate that too.
Yeah. So. Before we get into the entrepreneurship journey, I'd love to get a bit into your individual journeys and how you met and Sobey happened.
Well, we met at Zara. Yeah, the first year I moved to Joburg officially.
What were you studying? Were you studying?
No, I was not studying then. I was actually like working retail.
Oh.
Yeah, fresh out of Bloemfontein. You know, I met him in Zara.
City.
Yeah,
sure.
Big city, big dreams, thinking that I will flourish in the retail world.
What year was that?
I think 2015, yeah, back
then. 2015, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out of Zara. I actually went to school and I told them that I'm going to go study. Obviously, between working Zara, we grew the friendship and I had to go study. And we still kept the relationship going, like the friendship going. We'll thrift together, going to school. He will go to school in also photography and everything. So I'll go to see him as well with everything else.
Okay.
Him, I like it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so,
okay.
So the relationship actually grew, and we would explore the city together before, like, even thinking about there's going to be a company called Sobey.
Sure.
Yeah, that's how we we spend our time and
let's hear the gentleman side of the conversation. So
I don't know. You can tell only, the love story after I'm telling the friendship part of the story.
Not only did you find find love in a new passion project, I will call it, but the magic was also in finding a partner. Mm-hmm. And a significant other, and not just partner in like a professional sense, but partner in a personal life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I didn't find Tula here at all. Hey?
Yeah,
we found each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We found each other at Zara. We just connected. We like chilling together without even knowing each other's name.
Sure.
I don't even remember her name while chilling with her, but I just like chilling with her. Like, oh, it's cool. So, I mean, because her name is so different. It's Tula.
Sure.
I'd keep calling her Tuli or maybe Tuli Seal or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
I just enjoy her company.
Sure.
And I liked showing her around for the fact that she was new in the city. I liked showing her around, we'd go around exploring new things. So we were always about figuring out new things.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
we'll do actually photo, personal private photo projects.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll go around the city, we'll be taking pictures.
My photography profile by taking pictures of her.
Oh.
So we always try to come up with something different and new. So I think me venturing into school actually opened my mind into how to build a brand and how to build a business. I've always been interested in business, but immediately when I got into marketing, it just showed me a different perspective, how to see if there is a need out there in the market without like just observing. That's all you need to just observe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You probably find
something.
That magic.
Sure. Yeah. Now, the question is, there's so many industries. There's so many things you could have done.
Yeah.
And to come up with this bizarre idea of, you know, what you do with the fruits and the product that I'm gonna eat, in a few. So how did you stumble upon that?
Well, like
I'm
I
hoping
said,
it
there was
not at Zara.
No, not even like. Yes. We actually used to work in an ice cream store. Yes, and but we never knew how to even make sorbets or ice cream or anything, you know, just selling the product and everything. So we get a lot of people coming in. Oh, would you? Do you guys have sorbet?
We
don't have sorbets. And we're just like, okay, we have internet for days. Let's research.
What is this? Yeah.
Yeah. What is this sorbet
thing? Yeah.
You know, we go on the internet. We research. We're like, shit, just fruits? Are you serious? Yeah. And then when we go on researching and how many shops available in South Africa, like, no, are you seriously kidding me?
Because
finding fruits is quite cheaper than any other ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, so we're like, no, let's go for it. There's no way. Mm. So we didn't even know how the sorbet is going to taste like. We just saw a YouTube videos, a lot of tutorials. It's just doing a sorbet in a small amount. We have to like do it in masses.
Sure.
So now we have to like calculate with, like how many fruits do we add and
so
making everything so leveled. That's when the method and how like we have to do a different method of sorbet. And
one weird thing is that while we were working at the shop, we'd get a lot of people walking in and to somehow talk to the two of us, I would say, be like, I hope you guys are taking notes.
Yeah.
They'll come in and look into the shop, like, oh, this looks amazing. I hope you guys are taking notes. I hope
it's
something we like look at each other, like, okay, are they talking to us? But like,
there was one
never
famous
mind,
one,
right.
Actually, Utlomla Dandala.
Dandala,
yeah, came in the shop with the family,
and
we're serving him, and we're like, oh, do you realize who's this? We're like, yeah. And he was like to us, yo, I hope you guys take a note. And I looked back at him, and I'm like, shit. Did you hear
this
that?
This is not the first time.
Someone said this the first time I got this job. You're like, hey, I hope you're taking note because I think you can do this too and have bookings for events and stuff. But you didn't know what exactly that you want to venture into then.
Sure.
And
you always think of the workload. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what am I putting myself into? How to start this from a start?
And also it comes from, I think sorbet also comes from a very deep-rooted situation where you have to like change the cycle and take yourself out of that situation where you always have to like go on. We don't enjoy going to work on
looking for someone
9 to 5. The treatment, they don't treat us right at work. The transport situation, everything is at risk. Your life is at risk. And we wanted to change our lives and have a different vision and not work like how our mothers used to work.
Sure.
It's a, we live in a different generation could right now. Anything, I think it could be anything that you want to be. And what you had to, what we had to do actually, we had to sit down before, while we were planning, we had to sit down. We gave ourselves 4 months of saving our salary. So we will depend on one salary. So we earn like...
We eat my part of salary.
And then we'll save the whole of mine. And we're like, okay, let's buy a freezer. A freezer is like $3,000. Okay, let's buy a freezer. Let's buy this. Let's buy that. Let's buy... You know, until
before
the third
month.
Before
we were about to quit, we had a situation at work. We were forced to quit.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that day happened and you were like, no.
This you know, it is a sign.
We are out.
And in any case,
it was
you,
like,
you
we're ready.
We were ready.
Yeah, but it just happened so quick and you're like, we out. Then the next day, I think that was our first trading day.
First trading day was November, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of cold in that morning in Maboneng. Stood outside, security's looking at us like, you have to be part of the community. You can't be here. Like, we didn't give up. We moved up the road with our poly box. We still sold, and it was a great day.
What?
Yeah, this could work.
We went back to the market, we bought some fruits, and we had to like do
same
this
day,
again.
We
just realized that this routine is going to be like an everyday thing where you sell and you have to go make some sorbets after that. And it's a.
Ever since we've been living
we do it. Pretty much everything. We are both the CEOs and the employees
of
the company.
Are you as comfortable as you were earning a salary, making your own money now? Like, so I'm asking this from a point of, are you making enough to cover all the expenses and live the lives that you could on a salary?
I'll say that in calculation, because I do business a lot, like I'll calculate. Mm-hmm. Okay, I calculated that we probably reached both of our salaries when we were working for that ice cream store. So right now we're making closer to that. So I think it's about progress. We started, we didn't know that we were going to make enough money. It was not even about that. We're like, at least we make some. Let's make something. We work from, let's choose a rent that's less cheaper so that we put in more to the company than to ourselves.
We have to cut down a lot,
like on lifestyle, everything. Like you choose cycling than taking a bus. So we had to buy two bicycles and cycle around the city. And you know, to cut down on costs. So the money, we do struggle, but it's a good struggle. We enjoy it. The people actually encourage you. It could be a bad day. You could have like two sales on a, I don't know, on a windy day. Oh, it's so cold. We can't have a sorbet. Only two sales, and people will be like, "Yo, I think you're doing a great job. Keep on doing
that."
We see you. We see you going somewhere. Let me take a picture. I can't buy a scoop right now, but let me take a picture and support you on social media and stuff. But
And then so now it's a very 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 interesting dynamic. I'm sure Mhlathi would agree with me. How do you balance the work and play? Since you are partners in business and partners in life as well.
I feel like Sobek gives us the platform to like play, work and play at the same time.
Okay.
It's not really like a strict company.
Sure.
We were very playful. I think you've seen our poly box.
Yeah.
We decorated as a couple, we enjoy drawing, we enjoy such things and creating a lot, taking pictures. So we work and play like that. But romantically, I guess we have to take a day off and close. So if we close for the day, on a date, we're on a date.
Not working today. Business does take its toll.
We'd
have days when you have to wake up late in the morning to start
like
making
2 a.m.
and we'd be arguing. Oh, why don't you wake up? You're the one sleeping. I did this yesterday.
It
does happen.
Sure.
But we're still pushing strong.
Because
you see the growth the next day, like, oh, we had a good day. We forget that we were arguing later on, that was a great day today. We're spending the money together again.
And then again, with in terms of, you know, when your life partner is your partner at work, so do you have separate times where it's like, okay, business is closed from this time to that time, and you know, you are my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend? Or, you know, it's always business and it's always...
She's always my girlfriend. Nyambamba no mas tingis.
Sure.
Yeah, while people are talking, I say, oh, this is my girlfriend. They already know what the company is inspired by. So I had to show, which is my girlfriend. Oh, we cannot be acting professional.
I'll mistakenly say bae. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, Bizarre you guys are bae. Like, oh, yeah. So cool. So we had to get to the part where we explain the story of the relationship. Sure. Oh, yeah, this is why we started the company. And
This is how everything came together.
So I think
you don't have to act professional. Yeah. Like, yeah.
What are your hopes for the company now? Looking at progress and where you guys want to get.
We have a lot planned, but we would love to have a store. We're working towards that.
Yeah, being a first Sorbet shop.
Yeah.
And black owned.
We want to do.
Okay. Really
yes.
Okay.
The first
fully black owned Sorbet shop. Yeah. Yeah. And we want to employ the youth as well.
Create jobs.
We want them also to learn from us and say, okay, you can work for 2 years.
We came up with this concept. I don't know if it makes sense. But yeah. We came up with this concept that once you've started a shop and people are working for us, you can only work for us for a certain year and you have to create something for yourself.
Or do something for yourself. Yeah.
For us, that's you get a promotion. You need to work for 3 years and create something and move on.
Sure.
We can't keep you for long because you need to make space for the next
person. The next people.
Person. Umuntu graduate, or you're at their high school, they need a job. You shouldn't be staying
also, Kalisope forever. Learning the flavors. It's a lovely job. I enjoy doing it. As a head of the company, but I think eventually I want to take a step back and give someone the opportunity.
What are some of the lessons? It's always a big thing with me about, you know, fine, there's a journey, but I want to know that as an individual, starting a company with your partner and being partners in both those aspects and having seen hard days, great days, and in-between days, what are some of the lessons that individually you've learned? And we start with the lady.
Always be. Well, I've learned a lot to be patient because there's a lot of things happen when you open a business. You go through a lot of hurdles, requirements.
Sure.
Like, I would say we were working with a company, NYDA, the National Youth Development Agency.
Yes.
And they approached us to apply, and they will fund us with anything we want. Yeah,
like so that's currently in the works.
Well, it's done already. Actually, they've approved everything.
Oh, like, wow!
Yeah, we're just waiting to be booked for events or markets. You know, like, because they give us a freezer and stuff. But it was a process applying. You have to like show your papers,
commitment,
proof of sales, like everything that you're serious. You can't. They don't restrict you from saying, oh, you didn't register your company name, so it's fine, we can't help you. They'll help you within that process. So we wanted a freezer, and the certain things here that we had to like run around and chase, like my school in Rosebank College, I had to like go there and ask them to give me like a notice that I schooled here for them to process. So I almost didn't get that. So I broke down in school. I was crying. I was like, shit, we failed.
Yeah.
We failed. Literally, it was like, we can't hand this in tomorrow because there's no time. But somehow, fortunately, it came through. You have to, like, sometimes things that you are not in control of, relax a little bit, maybe just move on and maybe find a different option.
Sure.
So we're always coming up, like, even if it's like a small thing, like we want a strawberry flavor for a certain client, and we go to the market and there's no strawberry, we have to like come up with a flavor, alternative flavor.
To get your client what they want.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Your side?
Me, my side. I'd have to say it's prayer, eh?
Okay.
Because prayer comes with belief. You don't know, if I may say, what you're praying to, but you believe that you're praying it's going to work.
And sure.
Since we quit, we've been praying that it's going to work.
Yeah. Sure.
We sometimes lose, sometimes we win, but we're still here. Mm-hmm. We're making it work. And you're seeing the growth from us selling to from the ground.
From the ground, no table. Yeah.
We're getting higher. We're getting, you know, you're getting recognized all the time.
Sure, sure.
Because you're praying and you're believing.
Mm.
That's it. That's all it is to me.
How do people get in touch and get involved or find you?
At Sorbet Frozen on Instagram. That's Sorbae Frozen. And Twitter at Sorbet Frozen. Facebook, Sorbet Joburg or Sorbet Frozen, right? Either way, they're going to find it. Or if you want to email us for any events or bookings, there'll be sorbetfrozen@gmail.com. We actually have like a lot of flavors on our Instagram. we try to push so like getting new flavors all the time.
Yeah. So I see with some of the flavors that you have here, it's cherry and orange zest.
We haven't actually not official that one is not official yet.
It's not all okay. Yeah, so yeah. You're working on it.
I think
okay.
Those ones are with
the ones with ticks.
Ticks and ticks and everything. Okay. Those are the ones that are
sweet potato pie, we have done that one, granadilla, mango lychee. Banana cocoa and coconut bites. I'd actually be interested in tasting that one.
You actually have a cocoa, banana, and mint.
I think that's what you tasted on. When was it?
Yesterday.
Yeah. The banana, cocoa, and mint.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, okay.
And we actually had an apple munch. That apple munch. Actually, not to confuse apple munch.
Okay, okay.
And apple munch. Apple munch, it has cinnamon and pomegranate. You can actually taste the pomegranate seeds, but they're quite fine. And the pomegranate juice does something to the apple.
Interesting.
So, but I want to say to people that we always like asking people that, come taste, have a taste, and they're always scared. If you guys come up in Maboneng, on Fox, or Kruger, Sundays and Saturdays, we're on Fox.
Sure.
Come for a taste.
Trying to we teach have, people what a
sorbet is, because some people don't know what it is.
But it's ice cream. But, it doesn't have cream. We're trying to teach you. By us giving you a free taste, it's just okay.
And I think it's about doing more than that. I always like stretch out. It's not even about tasting or anything. Like, come on, support us. We started something. We're all crying that we want jobs. We want, you know, we're all lazy. So we started a business. So we'd like people to support us and help us get a store so that we can employ people and we can enjoy some sorbets.
So reflecting on the journey up to this point, what would be your parting message with the stuff that you've learned to this point individually? What would be your parting message to someone young?
Keep on creating.
Keep on creating
and thinking. Because I grew up drawing and doing a lot of bunch of things.
Sure.
Writing.
Sure.
School plays, whatever. Be active. Like, keep your mind exercised. Read. Do anything. You don't know what you're going to come up with. Talk to people as well. You know, I don't know. Just create. Because creating just brought us here together.
Yeah. So, okay.
Keep dreaming, hey?
Yeah.
Keep dreaming. Don't stop now.
Don't stop. Your dreams don't scare you. How too big when you think.
Like, sure.
What if I don't make it? But like, I'm going to push. They should scare
what
you like
you
that.
What
if you make it?
Yeah. Awesome. No, thank you so much for coming through to the studio and hanging with us, and thanks to the guys at BDBA for also coming through and hanging with us. And it's so inspiring on one end to see platforms being created that are fostering ideation, concepts, training, workshops, and tools that are fueling the youth of South Africa to move us from where we are to where we're supposed to be, which is a self-sufficient Africa. And on the other end of things, having two brilliant and bright minds, young, that just stood on top of a cliff and just jumped off without knowing if the parachute will open or if they will land and became entrepreneurs. I feel and think and hope that there's a lot that has been learned and imparted here. And we're going to bring you more of what will be happening at the BDBA conference later on in our podcast. So subscribe, share the podcast, tell us what you want to hear next, who you want to hear next. But from the Youth Leadership Platform, which is myself, Bongani Tao, and the Cliff Central team. Before we part, it's at Simply Bongani across all social media, YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. Till next time, take care and God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.